I am always happy to be in the company of Lauren Long, and he's the illustrator and author of a number of children's books that regularly end up number one on the New York Times bestseller list. His work has been honored twice with Golden Kite Awards and twice with gold medals from the Society of Illustrators in New York. Best of all, they are a great hit with children and parents, and that's certainly true of his Otis series. Tonight, we're going to talk about his latest Otis book. It is titled Otis and the Kittens. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you, Barbara.
This is your sixth book in this series, and I'm thinking that right about now, there are some little ones who will be going to bed. So why not have a bit of a bedtime story about Otis? Give us a little introduction to Otis and the Kittens, please.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm really excited about this book, and when I was sitting in this chair being interviewed by you probably for the very first Otis book, I would never have dreamed it would become a series. So it's been sort of, in a way, a gift in my career that I've been able to explore the world of this little tractor. And it's been fun because I've been able to say a lot of things that mean a lot to me personally through Otis and his adventures. So here we are with Otis and the Kittens. It was hot and dry on the farm where the friendly little tractor named Otis lived. Otis couldn't remember the last time it had rained. Farmers all over the valley grew more anxious by the day. Water was in short supply. The ground was hard, and the corn stalks were half as tall as they should have been. Otis spent his afternoons out in the sweltering fields with the farmhands baling straw. Once the load was full, with a puff and a chuff, Otis would pull the wagon into the old barn down by the bend at Mud Creek. The farmhands would use a pulley to lift each bale up into the loft, where it would be stored for the long winter to come. When the sun had gone over the hill and work was done, Otis was ready to sit in the shade and rest. But not Otis's friend, the bull. The bull liked to stand in front of Otis and snort and snarl and huff hot air. Two snorts, a snarl and a huff. All the animals knew what that meant. The bull was challenging Otis to a tug of war. Otis smiled. His friends were always eager to play, even after a long day of work. One duck wound the end of a rope around the bull's horns. Another duck looped the other end around Otis's steering wheel. The animals took sides, grabbing on any way they could. Everyone pulled and tugged with all of their might. Eventually, Otis would ease up a little bit. He didn't care much about winning. He just liked having fun with his friends. One afternoon, when everyone was up under the shade of the apple tree, Otis spotted something down in the field. It looked to be an orange tabby cat. Where did she come from? Otis wondered. He watched as she ran toward the old barn, and there he saw something that caused his engine to sputter. A swirl of smoke. Otis raced to the barn with the animals following behind. They discovered flames coming from the loft inside the old barn. A fire! The barn was filled with brittle, dry straw, and Otis knew it wouldn't take long for it all to burst into flames. Just then, the tabby cat appeared in the barn window. With a putt, puff, puttity chuff, Otis rushed into the burning barn.
So, you know, Otis has these wonderful characteristics, and through book after book, he exhibits them. So what do you think of as just a couple of his qualities that you wanted to represent and that represents the best of us?
That's the easy answer. Otis is unselfish. He's the most unselfish tractor you'll ever meet. He cares about everybody else before he cares about himself. He's happy when everyone around him is happy. He's a selfless tractor. And then second, he's very intrepid. He's a brave, brave tractor. And he does the right thing, even when it's not the easy thing.
And that really feeds right into those that this book is dedicated to. Want to tell us about that special dedication?
Yeah. a dedication meant so much to me in my first few books. And then it gets to the point where every book is special, but I dedicate most of my books to Tracy and the boys, my wife and sons, Griff and Graham. But this book, I wanted to return to a sort of a suspenseful action book after the Otis and the Scarecrow is a much more quiet book. And I wanted to tribute all the brave people. So on the end paper, which is the paste down paper, when you open a book, the end papers are the first papers you see, and they have a front end paper and a back end paper. And on the end paper, we have sort of a nice kind of a gray metallic color for Otis and the kittens. And it reads, "For the brave who run toward danger instead of away." And one of the things that struck me most, of course, since 9/11, 15 years later, I still have these mental pictures of those brave people who, when everybody else was running as fast as they could away from the danger, away from the smoke, there were a great many people running toward the danger. And I did a painting of that that ended up being in a show at the United Nations. I just called it The Firefighter. But those first responders who every day of their lives are putting themselves in harm's way for all of us, and it doesn't matter who we are, they're running toward danger instead of away.
I want to ask you about some other part of your life, because I discovered something very, well, there are lots of interesting things about you, but this has to do with your name. And your first name, Lauren, is somewhat unusual. Your last name, Long, is fairly common, but it comes to you in an unusual way. And I'm thinking about how you create these wonderful, warm, loving stories that we can easily imagine parent and child snuggling up, reading. I know you're a loving parent along with Tracy. And yet you have a grandfather who had a very different story, didn't he? Tell us about Joseph.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, Barbara, because he is my grandfather. So just two simple generations away, he came over during one of the great waves of immigration from Ireland. But when he came over, and this is a story I want to tell in a picture book eventually, but when he came over, he was in his mother's womb. So he was born in the U.S. He was born in New York City at a Catholic hospital, and they left him at the orphanage attached to the hospital in the late 1890s. He lived his first five or six years in that orphanage. And from about 1880 to roughly 1920, there was too many children along the eastern seaboard, particularly New York City and Boston, places where a lot of immigrants coming into America either didn't have enough wherewithal or various reasons. There were a lot of unspoken for children, orphans. They were in the street. It was causing a lot of problems. So they came up with this thing called the orphan train. And there was a wonderful novel I read recently called The Orphan Train. I recommend it. It's a great read. But it's a kind of a, in a way, not that many people in America know this little piece of American history, but they came up with a plan to put children that didn't have parents on trains. And they literally, they gave them a new suit or a dress. They gave them a little suitcase with a change of clothes, and they put them on trains, and they started in New York and drove and stopped along the way. And sometimes they were prearranged, but they said, we've got this whole frontier where farmers, on some level, farmers either would like to have an adopt a child, or in some cases, adopt a couple of children to help with the farm. So my grandfather, Joseph, his stop was in Lexington, Missouri, and I've never been there, and a family by the name of Long adopted him. And we don't know much more about it, because my grandfather, that was a different age, you know, and he was a parent. My dad was being raised by him and through the Depression. It was an era when a person didn't talk that much about themselves. And he also was a little bit ashamed of being an orphan. It wasn't something you bragged about. You know, today we're so accepting in the best sense for everyone's background in the best scenario. So we don't know. And he died. I never met him. He died when my dad was about 23 years old. So we don't know that much. But all I know is that he went through incredible challenges as a little child all alone in the world, being put on a train with a bunch of strange kids and being shipped. And he must have stopped quite a bit and no one picked him. And finally, somebody picked him. We know that he ran away a couple of times. So we don't know if this Long family was friendly to him or what the deal was. But that's kind of the story. I plan to research it a little more and tell a story with pictures about that little piece of our history. There have been a couple of orphan train type books for children, but I think it'd be a fun thing to explore. The trouble is, Barbara, it would be a piece of historical fiction because it would be based on my grandfather's story, but I don't know all the details.
But it will be a wonderful tribute to him, nevertheless. I will so look forward to it. And as always, have just so enjoyed talking with you. And this latest Otis book will, of course, fall into many welcome hands. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Barbara.
I've been talking with Loren Long about his latest book. It is titled Otis and the Kittens. Loren will be at our very own Books by the Banks Festival on October 15th, all day long. And we'll be there to sign books and share Otis with you and your children, grandchildren, any young folks in your life. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.